it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damien Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damien Williams runs to immortality!
Here's Mitch Holthus on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
All right, before we get into Mitch, congrats to Jake. Hey, Jake from Aspen won. He was caller 5.
Ooh, let's go, Jake.
How about
first
that?
You don't succeed. Pick
been
up
trying
the phone and
all
try
week
again.
To get in on this one, and
he
did.
So stoked.
That is fantastic.
He told Mac, tell Bob I'm not going to piss in his yard now.
Congrats to Jake with my guys over at Aspen being the fifth caller today to win that, win the final qualifier for that $500 Hy-Vee gift card. We'll put the names into a hat. Spectre will draw out the winner, and you'll be notified if you won. So if you qualified this week, wait for a phone call from Spectre.
It's time to open the door to Mitch Holthus. Before we do that,
it helps our team to be successful and win. I'm down to do it, but and those aggressive catches, man, like those are the ones you want. I think the easy ones that come and go, you know, that you got to have those. But at the end of the day, when you get those tough ones where it's 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, and you need to make a play, that's where you go to. And then you talk about the door hinge. The door hinge is something I take pride in, right? Someone who knows man versus zone and how to pick and how to, you know, reroute for leverage is huge. And I've learned that a lot here being under this offense.
We are now joined by Mitch Holthus, brought to you by GEHA at Silvers and Silverside Eye Centers, brought to you by GEHA, Government Employee Health Association Incorporated, and also brought to you by Silverside Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverside Eye Center. Mitch, what do you think about that door hinge from Juju Smith-Schuster?
Yeah, I talked to Juju earlier this week, and that was the phrase that I used. I saw it in the very first year of Andy Reid being here in Kansas City. You remember Jason Avant?
Yeah,
Jason was a receiver for Coach in Philly, and he brought him with him to Kansas City. And I watched how what Jason Avant did and how he did his work. And then I realized it's a key component of the Chiefs' offense. And Juju Smith-Schuster for Sunday's game is more important than I think people realize for what has to happen for the Chiefs to beat the Eagles, which will be a tall task. And you heard him explain the door hinge. The door hinge is a guy that is – he'll set screens, knows the art form of setting a legal pick, wink, wink, nod, nod, but also the depth and the way he runs the route. The reason the Chiefs got the big play late against Hollywood Brown in the game against the Chargers in Brazil was the way Juju ran his route and the way he influenced the safety. Juju has become super valuable to this team, and then making the tough catches. He talked about the 3rd and 5 and the 3rd and 6. That has to happen in this game for the Chiefs to beat the Eagles. So Juju Smith-Schuster, and he's training Jalen Royals to do the same thing. But the door hinge is very important in this offense.
All right, Mitch, we look at this game, and obviously the Worthy situation, game time decision, kind of up in the air, you know, with him right now. So who's going to dictate the terms of this game for the Chiefs?
Well, here's where you go with the Eagles. Let's just take the Eagles as an absolute value mathematical term here. The Eagles want to make you play their game. The two teams that I think in the NFL that are this way the most are the Eagles and the Ravens. And the Chargers want to be this way, and they're headed that way. But they want to make you play on their terms and give you their rules, meaning we're gonna win on first down, and then we're going to have play four-down football. Last week in their opening game, the Eagles against the Cowboys, they had 3rd and 4 or less 5 times. They made all 5. We know about the tush push, but it's what happens prior to the tush push. So for the Chiefs, they have got to be on both sides of the ball, somehow change the terms of this game. The Chiefs have got to make the Eagles uncomfortable. The Eagles don't get there very often, and they did in the second half of Super Bowl 57. But it's all three phases, jumping on top of this team and trying to make Philadelphia think differently instead of making the Chiefs play Philly's game all day.
Yeah, and I think, look, to dictate the terms of this game, call me old school, we got to run the football this week, my man. I just think the running game has to be integral in this football game for the Chiefs to have a victory over the Eagles.
Now, they lost Carter early in the game, but here's one of your nuggets of the morning. This Eagles team, Zach Bond, the linebacker, is the only guy on the Eagles defense that is not on his first contract or a one-year contract. Their veteran guys are all on one-year deals, and the other guys are all on their rookie contracts. This is the youngest defense in the NFL.
Wow.
I thought Brian Schottenheimer did a brilliant job in that game. If they don't fumble going in, they're probably going to beat the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But they ran the ball, and they ran it effectively, and they ran it different ways. Turpin on jet sweeps, the leg the Chiefs have done with Mecole Hardman and others. So, yes, I'm with you, but it's the way you run it, how you run it. Even the short passing game, in essence, becomes runs, and then you hope you can break a tackle here and there. But this Eagles defense is good. Vic Fangio, 22 years as a defensive coordinator. But they're missing 10 guys that played in Super Bowl 59. That was just in February.
Wow.
They're missing four starters and 10 defensive players. This is an overhaul of the Eagles defense.
Mitch, I always tend to look at the quarterback's eyes when they play the Chiefs at Arrowhead, and it seems like this quarterback they're going up against, Jalen Hurts, doesn't really have that sort of fear to this team. Maybe this is a week where you kind of reintroduce that striking of fear into his soul, because it seems like he seems to handle himself well. Two games in the Super Bowl, he might have been the best player on the field. They beat him the last time they were here, and now we have the fourth time here against Jalen Hurts. What say you, Mitch Holtis?
Super Bowl 57, it's the biggest play that he doesn't get criticized for, and that was the scoop and score by Bolton.
Mm-hmm.
That play just, like, nobody criticized him for it. Now, here's where I think this started with Jalen Hurts. At the 101 banquet, we were still doing him live then in Kansas City. He got NFC Offensive Player of the Year, and he showed up. He came here right after we beat him in the Super Bowl. I thought that takes some guts. But when he was here, he was awesome. He's a super classy dude. I respect him. But he said, that loss, and congratulations to everybody here, but I'm just telling you, that loss just made me put another log on the fire. Ever since that point, Jalen Hurts has done nothing but ascend. Now, what he is doing now is he had two scramble touchdowns against the Cowboys. Here's your other nugget this morning. Last year, he had 14 rushing touchdowns, Jalen Hurts. None of those were on scrambles. Tush pushes, quarterback draws, quarterback powers, all designed. Now he's doing it ad lib and made it even more dangerous. He's got 57 rushing touchdowns as a quarterback in his career in, 52 in the last 4 years. That's an all-time NFL record. Mm. But now he's recognizing when to scramble. And it puts just that much more pressure on the Chiefs defense, because they got to defend Barkley. You got to defend a good receiving core. Goddard's a stud tight end. And then you've got to defend the quarterback design runs. But now Hurts is knowing when to scramble and doing it well. And so this is a lot on the table for this Chiefs defense.
Mitch, how big a wake-up call do you think Chris Jones got on Friday after getting yelled at by Drew Tranquil, everybody knowing he's out of position, him admitting to being out of position? You know, I need more out of Chris for this game to be going the way of our team.
And, Bob, he was so good this spring and summer. I mean, I said Superman entered his body on April the 5th.
Yeah.
And then in the Charger game, it wasn't there. So he knows it. He blows that play. If we get him off the field there, everybody, including their sidelines, going, uh-oh.
Yep.
Mahomes has the ball in his hands. A touchdown's going to beat us. And that's 3rd and 14. But we can go out throughout the whole game. 3rd and 8, 10. 3rd and 9, 12. 3rd and 6, 8. That was that whole game against the Chargers. That's the next phase of this defense. They have got to get off the field. And you cannot have 3rd and 4 or less against this Eagles team, or it's an automatic first down. They're like Army last week against K-State. They're going to play 4-down football. They get 4th and 2 or less, they're going to make it. So, again, that's the mindset you've got, and there's a lot on the table. But Chris Jones has got to wreck this game. He has got to take over this game and put it on his back.
Yeah, I mean, how does he do that? Is he capable of still doing that? Has age caught up with him?
No.
Okay.
No, he is. That trip, I don't want to make excuses.
I know, but it's reality, Mitch. It's reality. Yeah. It's not an excuse.
People need to know. If they were, this is you, the three of us running a 100-meter dash. at the company picnic. But then we're gonna make Dusty ride. What's the craziest ride right now at Worlds of Fun? I don't even know.
I don't know, the Patriot, the Mamba. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know, the Mamba. Let's say the Mamba. Mm-hmm. All right, we're gonna run the 100-meter dash, all three of us, right? But we're gonna put Dusty on the Mamba for like 5 minutes, and then once he gets off that, then we're gonna run this race and see how Dusty does.
Last place.
That's what that trip was. Now I'm not. It's we could have won, should have won, whatever. But I'm telling you, I wasn't surprised that it was clunky and we didn't come out smoking hot. Now this week, no excuses. We got to come out rolling and let her fly, baby, wide open to start this game.
Yeah, I think that the Chiefs kind of let the travel get to them because, like, a lot of folks have been complaining since July about the preseason games being so far away and then this game on top. Like, the Chiefs have already traveled a bleep ton, Mitch, and we're in week two.
Nuts. It's just nuts. I haven't seen it in 32 years to have the way it started this year of, like, hey, you guys are going to go to Zimbabwe, and then, okay, after that, you're going to Liechtenstein. That's kind of what this feels like. Now, it's over. That's over. We got the regular Sunday nights and Monday nighters and home and road and all that. But it starts this week to lock in and try to, you know, purge all that. This has been a normal week to get ready and to attack this game.
Mitch, Tom Brady here. So I want to ask you this. I want to ask you this because this is what I've been kind of like focusing on. I always try to give you my educated deep dive into the game that I normally didn't do before I started talking to you every Friday. And that is how big of an impact this game will be from the three linebackers named Shanahl, Tranquil, and Nick Bolton. Because I assume one will spy Jalen Hurts. The other one's assignment will be Saquon Barkley. And the other one will be the tight end. And I assume the tight end's going to be on Nick Bolton. I would assume Leo's crazy ass will be all over the spy, and then you got to have Drew Tranquil, who's your good open field tackler, on Saquon Barkley. How big of a game is it for this linebacker unit?
Well, and I'll see your linebackers, and I'll raise you the safeties,
okay?
Because the safeties also are on this discussion, all of them: Ryan Cook, Shamari Connor, right down the line,
Jaden Hicks.
They have got to play superb football. Be able to play within the assignment. I think Leo Chanel's big in this game. That guy is ready to take off. But I think he can be the guy that can be very physical in this game, even if he picks a shot on Hurts, legal shot. But, I mean, you got to tackle Hurts, and you got to make him feel these runs. And I don't mean that in a negative way. You got to be there and make plays on this guy. So, but I think the safeties are equally under the microscope in this game, along with the linebackers. That whole middle group has got to have the really, really good games.
All right, Mitch, before we let you get out of here, this has been a hell of a series over the last four games. It's tied at two apiece. I think this is really your quarterback rivalry in the NFL. What's the historical significance of Sunday?
The fact that these two quarterbacks, it's the first time in National Football League history that two quarterbacks who beat each other in the Super Bowl will face each other in a regular season game. In fact, it's never happened that a quarterback beat the other in the Super Bowl, 1-1 in a Super Bowl. It's never happened. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. When I saw that nugget, I had to go back and look at it, go, no. Like, Jim Kelly didn't win any of those games. And so this is the only two quarterbacks in the NFL who have beaten each other in Super Bowls. So I'm with you. This is a titanic battle where two great warriors draw their swords again. But again, it's NFL history.
Mitch, we appreciate the time as always. Have a good call on Sunday at 3:25, and let's get this team back to 1-1 and 500 and move on with the season.
Let's go. Stay focused, Dusty, and tell my man, Honey Badger, I'll see him what up. I'll see him on the Sunday.
You know, if worst case scenario, he can suit up and still play, we'll ask him.
Yeah, we'll just turn him loose. Might get the Eagles' attention. But I'm sure we got about 10 good plays from that guy.
No doubt about it. Mitch, we appreciate it, man. Take care.
See you, boys.
See you, Mitch.
That is Mitch Holtis there joining us as he does every Friday, brought to you by GEHA, Government Employee Health Association Incorporated. Also brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. We'll be joined by Tyrann Mathieu in just a bit, but I love that he says that Leo Chanel's ready to take off.
That was good, yeah.
You got to see it, man. You got to let your presence be known, because otherwise Jalen Hurts will use his legs. Like, he will literally tear you apart, and that'll get people to creep up, and then you'll see that over-the-top
exactly
to,
right.
to Devonta Smith or to A.J. Brown, who are both very hungry in this game to try to make some statistical proof that they're still doing it, because A.J. Brown, one catch, 8 yards. Devonta Smith had a decent game, but not a typical type of game for him. And Saquon Barkley, man, we know Spags is going to try to focus on stopping the run, and he's going to put it on his safeties and his linebackers to keep everybody else contained.
You know, what you're saying right there is exactly what the Chiefs need to be doing. I've been saying it all week with the run, and everybody kind of, oh, the run. But it's true. I mean, if Jalen Hurts gets out and runs, and he's effective running the football, it's going to open up that passing game to a new level. If Saquon Barkley is effective running, it opens up that passing game to a new level. And that's why the Chiefs need to really run the football this week, because they don't have their top wide receivers out there. And so if you want to make it easier for the passing game to take off, use the run game, have success in the run, and that'll open up the pass as well.
It's Honey Badger time on a Friday. Tyron Matthew joins us here on Fesco and Dusty. Tyron, after you bang the drum on Sunday, you're going to go down to the field, strap up the old 32, maybe take it from Bolton and see if he'll buy, you know, you can pay for the number and get back out there, my man. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, man. Good morning, guys. I don't know, man. I feel like Nick has, you know, last few years, man, he's put in some real work in that 32, so I might have to find a new number.
Yeah. You know? What would that number be? If you had a secondary number, what would it be?
You know what, man? Just because I miss my guy so much, man, I think about him a lot. I might bring out the old 49 just for old Dirty Dan, you know?
Oh, I like that. I like that 49.
Get a pick and do the celebration with the football in the air, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
People don't give Dan enough credit around here, man. He had some big plays for this organization, didn't he?
Yes, he did, man. He was a great teammate, too, man. You know, just you know, coming into the building and, you know, like him just kind of setting the tone, man, with workouts and, you know, just the way he eat and just all those things, man. He was definitely somebody I always counted on, and definitely had a lot of fun, you know, going to war with him, man.
Tyron, when you analyze these games, I know you still have the player dog mentality or the honey badger in you when you watch these things. And what would you say is the biggest weakness right now for the Kansas City Chiefs? And what would you say is the biggest weakness right now for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Man, the biggest weakness for the Chiefs? Oh, man, I'd probably say just kind of being down, you know, Rashee Rice, man. I think Rashee Rice is going to be an exceptional receiver, you know, in this league. And I think just them not having him, man, has really – I think some people may have overlooked this, you know, because he's a really, really good ball player. He works the middle. He helps Kelsey. He helps the run game. Right? He helps Worthy. But I just think when they get him back, man, they'll finally be back to, you know, who they are, you know, as a team.
I think that is key to have him back, obviously. And, you know, this week, man, from the safety position perspective, if the Chiefs go out there and try to run the football and they're effective running the football, how does that change things for them from an offensive standpoint, from your view on the defense?
Yeah, I mean, you're able to run the ball, man. I mean, it just sets everything up. I know that's cliche, and, you know, those guys have probably been saying that since the 70s, right? Like, just run the ball, it sets everything, but it's so true. And, you know, I think too, given the personnel, right, that the Chiefs have or the lack thereof, you know, I think that run game is definitely going to have to, you know, increase a bit. And hey, man, like I know this probably like, you know, against the rules, maybe like let's find a way to get Patrick, you know, like. Two or three catches a game, you know, and just keep the defenses honest again.
Yeah, I mean, you got to try to change something up when you're depleted in one area, so you've got to change it up and utilize the you know what you have out there in that running game. You're right, they have been saying it since the 70s, but for whatever reason, man, like it seems cliche, and we always talk about being in this passing league, and coaches seemingly are adverse to trying to establish the run. Like, in my opinion, you just keep running the football until you're in desperation mode in this game against the Eagles, because I just think that's the only way you're going to have the best success on offense.
Yeah, man. The Eagles definitely present a really, really a tough challenge, man. They're probably the best, you know, it's like three or four of those teams where you can say, you know, the Ravens, Chiefs, Eagles, right? Well, they draft well, yeah. Right? Like, they scout well, right? They bring in the right players. And so, you know, not only do you got to deal with the scheme and all that, you know, you got to deal with, you know, a bunch of motivated guys. You know, and I think they found the right touch, man, to kind of keep that thing going. It's hard to keep it going, you know, multiple years and competing every year.
If you were to be on that field on Sunday, what would be your strategy against a guy like Jalen Hurts?
Man, Jalen Hurts, man, he's tricky, right? Because he's one of those guys where you say to yourself, man, just let him throw the ball, right? Like we want him to pass. But, you know, I think the difference is with him, man, is like he has legit weapons, you know? Like he has guys that can really get it done, you know, especially on the outside with, you know, obviously A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. But, you know, Saquon Barkley and Dallas Goedert, man, they are they're some grinders, man. And it's definitely a tough challenge this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I want to bring this up because you weren't shy about getting into somebody's ass if they weren't covering their assignment. We saw last week Travis gets into Juwan Taylor and then Tranquil and Jones have their dispute on the sideline. That, to me, seems okay. We see teams do this all the time. What say you, being a former player that played with a lot of passion and a lot of, you know, you want to be perfect. Obviously, nobody's perfect on this world. But, like, you want to play perfect because that gives you the best case scenario. You're okay with that sort of attitude? Because I feel like I'm in the same boat with you if you say the same answer I had.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, it's all a part of growing. It's all a part of brotherhood. And, you know, obviously, man, like there's a way to do everything, right? Like, and there's a time and a place for everything. And, you know, but yeah, man, like the more guys that you have that believe in the standard, right? That are willing to hold each other to that standard. Because listen, man, like every year is in my best year, right? Like, so I may need you to motivate me a little more than you know, years in the past, right? And so I think as a teammate, as a leader, man, you just gotta figure that out. Like, you gotta figure that part out. Who needs to be motivated? You know, certain ways to approach certain people. Because everybody's different, you know, you know, how one person takes, you know, that criticism, you know, maybe totally different than the next guy, right? So, you know, it's just finding that middle ground, finding that balance, man.
Tyron, I want to get personal for a second with you. What made you retire?
Man, you know what, man? I've been really getting that question a lot lately, obviously. But, you know, I'll probably say for me, man, outside of, you know, really, man, just wanted to focus on family and kids. For me, man, I think the people that know me, they know that, man, like, Tyron needs a challenge, right? Like, Tyron needs something to believe in. And I think, man, I had a great, you know, NFL career, right? Like, I've experienced it all. I've seen it all and done it all. And so, you know, for me, man, to be able to, you know, just set up a new challenge, right? Like what's life like next, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what's my next challenge? Is that coaching? Is that broadcasting, right? Like, is that, you know, getting in the studio, being an analyst? Like, what do I want to coach? High school, college, you know, NFL? So I'm really just grateful, man, that I have those type of options. But, yeah, man, to be honest, man, I'm just looking forward to the next challenge.
Well,
you know?
That's awesome. I mean, and if you want to do the broadcasting, you've always got a home here with us and can come on. And
oh, man, thank you.
Do you realize the difference that you made here? I was talking to somebody literally yesterday about the event we put on with you right before COVID, which I still look back at that event. I'm like, that was one hell of an event with the celebrity waiter that we were able to pull off. But I literally was talking to somebody yesterday about it. I've talked to multiple people this week about that event that took place in 2019, and people tell me, we want to do our event like you guys did with Tyron. We want to do what we did with Tyron. Like, people keep going back to that event because of how awesome it was and the difference that you made in this Kansas City community, man. Like, I miss seeing you out in the community doing all that kind of stuff. So come back here and do that stuff.
Man, I tell you, I miss you guys too, man. And just, you know, you know, really the way that community embraced me, man, and man, they allowed me to be myself, and I'm just like so grateful for that, because it could have been a totally different experience. Like, I could have not been Tyron and, you know, been myself and been some other guy, right? And so, man, I was always, you know, thankful and grateful, man, for just for that acceptance, man, that embracing. And you know, obviously, man, I was so proud to, you know, be able to win that first Super Bowl in 50 years, right? I feel like that's the most special one, because it seems like every year since, man, they go right back to the Super Bowl. So I like to think the one we won in 2019 is the most special of them all.
Because it's the first, yeah. Was it hard watching this team go on and have success when you weren't part of it?
Man, hard? I don't know if hard's the word. I mean, I was really, really happy for those guys, man, and you know, obviously, like, me and Brett Veach, and, you know, me and Coach Reed and Coach Fags, and, you know, even Dave Merritt, like those dudes are still my guys. And, like, we talk all the time. We text all the time. You know, all these people, man. Just yeah, man. Like we stayed in touch, and which is why I think, you know, opportunities like, you know, the one you know, Sunday with me kind of banging the drums. I think that's why, you know, those relationships are still intact, man. I think we've all kind of done a great job of, you know, keeping in contact, you know, being respectful, and just really, man, just remembering the good times and that positivity, man, because it really, really was like a special time.
Well, we appreciate the special time you gave us today, Tyron. The text line is over flooded with a bunch of praises for you. Keep doing the Lord's work with those dogs, too, man. We appreciate all the stuff you do and continue your broadcast career. You're doing great on TV, man. And anytime you want to come on this show, feel free. I'll take a seat back and you can have this driver's seat.
And come to the tailgate on Sunday. We'll be at the bus. We got ribs and barbecue from Smokehouse and all the good stuff. So stop by if you want to eat.
Oh, man, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate that, fellas. I'll see you guys this weekend.
See all you right. This weekend.
Thanks, Tyron.
All right, fellas. All right.
Great interview.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like this is the guy. Best. He really is.
Great,
man.
Like that guy.
I'm having that conversation, and I'm going back, and I'm picturing in my mind the stuff that he did in the community, not the stuff that he did on the field, because I saw this guy make a difference with so many people that nobody even knew about what he was doing. That's the kind of human being that Tyron Matthew is. That's why it's somebody you always root for, man. Even when he was playing with New Orleans, you're kind of rooting for him to do good things.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.